Chapter 14. The next day passed with math, geography, poetry, group trust exercises, and interpretive dance. They also had music and gym. Everyone but Sebastian enjoyed music. When they were invited to experiment with various instruments like flutes and violins, Sebastian covered his eyes and screamed,
"Are you people trying to blind me? Do you know what the sound waves on badly played musical instruments look like? Sharp! They're like knives to the eyeballs!"
He had to go sit in the hall. Gym was also a risky endeavor. Marigold shrank two basketballs, and Elliot froze one. Bax turned into a rock when Willa passed him the ball. Back in Ms. Starr's class, they practiced the headstands again. Lots and lots of headstands. This time, Bax tried lying over a chair with his head upside down instead of doing the headstand. He remained human for most of the session, which made Ms. Starr very happy. Pepper was finally able to go upside down in the center of the room, not against the wall. Marigold's headstand was good, but she hit her leg on the hot radiator when she came down. There was a large burn across the bare skin of her ankle, and she held on to it, crying.
"Let me help," said Elliot.
He grabbed an eraser from a nearby desk and froze it solid. Then he handed it to Marigold. She pressed it to the burn.
"Wow," she said, looking at him as if he were a hero.
"Thanks."
"Don't mention it," Elliot told her. "As in, really, please don't talk about it outside this classroom."
When the school bell rang at 3 o'clock, Ms. Starr called Nori and Elliot to her desk.
"Here,"
she said, handing them each a piece of paper. Her voice sagged a bit, Nori thought. "Your evaluation is approved," the papers read. "Your test will be a week from Friday. Come to the gymnasium 30 minutes before school starts. And remember, luck comes in many different forms." It was signed by Principal Gonzalez. That afternoon, they practiced at Elliot's house. Mr. Cohen had big hair like Elliot. He worked from home as a guitar teacher. He was a flicker, and from what Nori could tell, he mainly used his talent to make Elliot's baby brother laugh by making toys disappear and reappear.
"Nori, Elliot's told us about your magic. Sounds like you're a real dynamo,"
Mr. Cohen grinned.
"You sprayed those Sparky kids, huh? Give me 5.
Nori smiled shyly and touched her palm to his. Her heart both stretched and shrank. Why couldn't her own father high-five her magic?
"We're going to my room, Dad," Elliot said. "We have homework." "Let me show Nori your ices first," Mr. Cohen said, explaining to Nori.
"I keep a photo album. I take pictures of as many as I can."
"She doesn't care, Dad," Elliot said. "Nobody cares."
He pulled Nori past his father and upstairs.
"I've asked him to stop taking pictures of every little freeze, but he won't."
He raised his voice.
"Obviously he hates me, or he wouldn't try to embarrass me every minute of my life."
From downstairs, Elliot's dad laughed.
"I adore you, kiddo," he called. "And come on, the frozen TV remote was cool."
"No, it was just frozen," Elliot grumbled, "which meant it was broken."
He and Nori settled on the floor in his room. Elliot lined up a row of candles to practice on, and also a row of popsicle sticks. Then they got to work. It did not go well. Elliot froze one candle after another. Nori turned into another coat and ate the candles. Elliot froze some popsicle sticks. Nori turned into a dritten and blew fire at Elliot's bedspread. Elliot froze the bedspread and put the fire out, leaving an icy scorch mark in its place. Nori turned back into a human. She groaned and put her head in her hands.
"It was an ugly bedspread anyway," Elliot said.
They both laughed, but they knew they were in trouble. At school the next morning, Nori opened her desk and found a book inside. The Box of Normal by Eugenia Throckmorton. Who had put it there? Ms. Starr? Unlikely. Normal was one of her least favorite words. But no one else knew that Nori and Elliot were trying to switch classes. They had decided not to discuss it with the others. They didn't want their classmates to feel bad. Nori flipped through the thin, crinkly pages. She gobbled up the words. Elliot arrived and slid into his seat just as Ms. Starr called the class to attention. Nori hid her book in her lap and kept reading.
The person with upside-down abilities who wishes to pass as normal should use a technique I call the box of normal,
Eugenia Throckmorton had written. The book explained that there was a history of flares like Elliot, who were freezers as well. Very often the freezing overwhelmed the flare talent. The book also gave examples of unusual fluxers. In one case, there was a boy who shifted into large carnivores from the day he turned 10. When he was 15, he was doing extinct animals, velociraptors and tyrannosaurs. Luckily, the box of normal skill helped him limit himself to bears. In another case, a girl suffered from turning into insect after insect, never by choice. She had once been trapped as a fly for a whole week. Yet again, the box of normal helped. Using that skill, the girl learned to turn herself into a ladybug and to switch back to a girl at any time. Nori couldn't find anything about fluxers like Bax, who turned into objects. It didn't mention fierces, either, or people who shrank things or made indoor rainstorms. Then, there was a long and probably boring section on licensing and legal stuff, so Nori jumped ahead to the instructions. Throckmorton wrote that to do normal magic, you should box in the tiny regular part of your wonky talent.
The rest of your talent is an unruly jungle, she wrote. Deep inside the jungle, you build a safe place to go. The safe place is the box, your box of normal.
Nori thought her box of normal was the black kitten. She could hold black kitten longer than she could hold any other form. She had a normal skunk, too. She could do that for a little while, at least. Elliot's box of normal was the way he could heat marshmallows and light matches. Maybe there was a box of normal for Andres, too. He could fly, he just couldn't come down. But was there a box of normal for people like Bax, Pepper, Marigold, and Willa? Nori worried that there wasn't. The thought made her sad, but not so sad that she stopped reading. By lunchtime, Nori felt like a changed person. Come with me now, she said to Elliot. They didn't go to the cafeteria. Instead, they hid in the supply closet. We've been going about it all wrong, she explained.
We have? Elliot said.
Yes, but now I know what to do, Nori explained about Throckmorton's book and the box of normal. I've been building my box of normal all morning, and I want to see if it works. I'm going to do kitten, okay?
I don't want to be in a small space with you when you flux, said Elliot.
Please?
You might burn me with dragon fire.
You'll be fine. You have ice power.
You might skunk spray me or chew my shoes.
Elliot, please. This could help us both. Elliot rolled his eyes.
Okay, fine. But if anything goes upside down, I'm going to leave the closet and lock you inside.
Nothing's going to go upside down. And you want to know why? Nori grinned. Because I've got a box of normal.
Huh?
I've been building a safe place inside my brain all morning. She closed her eyes. In her mind, she saw a box, and inside the box was the part of her magic that let her make ordinary animals. Ordinary animals with human minds. It was a small box. A tiny box, really. The jungle of her magic was enormous, it seemed. No matter. She was safe inside her tiny box. Safe and sound and kitten, kitten, kitten. Her vision blurred and her body shifted. Kitten!
You did it, Elliot exclaimed. Now, just stay that way, okay? No funny business.
He reached down and patted her kitten head.
You look awesome. Nice job on the fluffy ears. And you have good long whiskers.
Kitten Nori purred. She knew that the boy who was petting her was Elliot. She knew they were friends. She understood what he was saying. Box of normal! Kitten Nori walked around the supply closet in the dim light. She thought about her regular Nori life. She stayed completely kitten-shaped. Then, because she decided to, she popped back into her own Nori body. She looked at Elliot with wonder.
That was great, Elliot said. Oh my gosh, Nori! I timed it on my phone, and you were a kitten for a whole 10 minutes!
I did it, Nori said. She felt tired and proud,
And if I can, you can too. At the end of the day, Nori pushed through the crowded hall to drink from the water fountain. It was invisible again, but by now she knew where it was. When she finished, she looked up to see Pepper beside her.
So? Pepper asked.
It was the first time she'd looked Nori in the eye since the skunkophant in the cafeteria.
So what? So how's it going? With Elliot and practicing for your test, are you getting closer? You know we're trying to switch out of UDM? Yeah, I heard you guys talking about it.
Does everyone know?
I don't think so.
Nori's mind felt dull. Then, the pieces of the puzzle came together.
The book. Did you leave it for me?
Well, Pepper shrugged.
I thought it might work for you and Elliot. It definitely doesn't work for me. I've got no normal to put in the box.
Nori looked at Pepper and saw the small, friendly girl she'd first met. The girl Pepper was to her before Nori knew she was a fierce. Nori had liked that girl. A lot. Poor Pepper, Nori thought. How lonely she must be. How awful to have a talent that pushes people away.
It is working, Nori said. The box and all that. It's made a huge difference. Thank you.
You're welcome, Pepper said wistfully.
I don't fit in anywhere. I don't think I ever will. But maybe you can.